are thankful today. Let's bow before the Lord. Heavenly Father, we come today and we do give you thanks. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, your name is worthy. As we come today, may we decrease and may you increase. Save someone today, encourage another, and when this time is done, we'll give your name the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. There's a word from the Lord today that comes from Psalm 34, and we'll do verse number 8. You heard the reading of the first 7 verses. It reads, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." I want to preach today from the sermonic title, A Taste Test. A Taste Test. The history books tell us that sometime around this part of the year that we celebrated what was called the first Thanksgiving, 1621 in Plymouth, Massachusetts, when the Pilgrims and the Native Americans came together to celebrate that first Thanksgiving. History tells us that. But not long ago, a columnist for AARP, yes, I do read that, they took issue with the Plymouth history by saying that really it began in Texas, it began in Florida, it began in Virginia. But all I know is I'm glad the Lord has made a way for me and for you. But, you know, long before anybody came to this country, we're glad to know he who made the world. Amen? Amen. And even back in the book of Genesis, we know that God was already giving thanks by way of putting Adam in the Garden of Eden, and saying to him, "Now you ought to work the fields. Just be careful that you do what I tell you to do." And Exodus 6, you know, the people of God in Exodus 16, they were out in the wilderness and God provided a meal for them by raining down manna and sending them quail. God has always been a God who provides for us. Mark 6, and there in any of the Gospels, you'll see how Jesus recognized the people had been following him and they were tired. And he says to his disciples, "Get them something to eat." There was no Food Lion, no Publix, no Giant anywhere around. He says, "Bring the little boy to me and I'll take his lunch." Amen. 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. And he fed the multitude and there were leftovers. 12 baskets to go. Amen. And we look even now as how in the Gospel of John that Jesus had a more intimate fish breakfast. Amen. There he was there on the Sea of Galilee. And as the brothers came in, he said, "I have fixed a meal for you there with coals on the fire." And even this writer, David, talks over in the 23rd Psalm. He says, "He prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." God has always been in the food business, and he's always been supplying us with all of our needs. But in this 34th chapter, we find David with a different perspective. Psalm 34, David is giving thanks to God for all that he's done. This is the same David who was the shepherd boy who went down to take his brothers a carry-out meal. And when he got there, they noticed that there was this big giant, Goliath, scaring everybody. You know, there's some giants in our lives. But God gave him what he needed, 5 smooth stones. He took Goliath out. And after that, everybody was saying, "You go, David." David was the man. Went back into town and folk were celebrating him and folk were having a party. David danced out of his clothes. And after that, we know that when God does something great in your life, look out for the enemy. And what takes place is King Saul is jealous. And he goes after David, throwing javelins at him. Anybody ever thrown anything at you before? Lied on you, cheated on you, and stabbed you in the back? And so David knew that his life was very precious, but that Saul wanted to kill him. And he made good sense. He ran. I know you might be big and bad, but there's nothing wrong with running. He kept running, and at some point he decided he would do the unthinkable. He goes into the land of the Philistines. He shows up in the place where Goliath was from. He shows up at this place, and they automatically lock him up. He goes with an insanity plea, acts crazy, and when he gets out of that situation, he comes back to a cave. And that's where the 34th verse opens up, this whole chapter. He comes back to this place, and he begins to write. He pulls out his harp, and he begins that 34th chapter, says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. When God brings you out of some places, David is able to write in that kind of way. Why? He knows what God has brought him through. And so he comes and lets us see three things, I believe, in this text. That he comes as someone who is ready to try God, someone who has put their trust in God, and someone who knows how to thank God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's talking from experience. And unless you've been through something, you can't say, come on and taste and good. How many folk know that God really is good? Yeah. Amen? I mean, sometimes we say it as a little, well, yeah, God good. But when you've been down and God had to raise you up, you can say, listen, taste and see that the Lord is good. Not based on what he had seen in Facebook, not what he'd seen on Instagram, but sometimes in life, most often, we go through something that allows us to write our own psalm. And he says, taste and see the Lord is good. It is a song of thanksgiving. Not about a meal, but about his goodness. Like sometimes we get caught up on the meal and forget who it was that provided for us. It is God himself. And so the taste really involves testing or sampling. To see involves understanding and perceiving. And the phrase taste and see means to try and experience. He said, I want you to experience my God. Because I could tell you about the cave. I could tell you about how Saul came after me. But I want you to know that I'm going to try him. Anybody ever tried him and found him to be all right? Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Sometimes we are afraid to test God. Afraid to try God. Malachi says it well. He says, you know what? Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse. Now, why? There might be meat in my house. And do what? I will do so. I will open up the doors of heaven and pour you out a blessing. There will not be room to receive it. Gideon, about to go into battle, said, you know what? I don't know if we can do this. So I need you to make the fleece wet and the ground dry. And God did it. He said, I want you to do it the other way. And so often we will try God and we'll find him to come through. Now, you don't have to tell me today, you ever put God to a test? Try to put God out there. You know, God, if you can't do it, it won't be done. And what does he do? He blows your mind because you have tried him and found him to be all right. But he also had to have trust in God. He says, blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. He knew that God was his hiding place. He knew that God was his place of cover. He knew that when he came out of this experience, that God would bring him through. And I keep going back to this. Anybody ever been through something? It may not have been a cave, but you found yourself down. It may have been down to your last dime. And can I just testify today? I may as well go ahead and tell you. You know my testimony. I lost my job one day. Anybody ever lost their job? Yeah. Raise your hand if you ever lost your job before. You ain't do nothing wrong, but you lost your job. I lost my job. And Lord talked to me at that point. But all I had was one suit. A gray herringbone suit that I ironed on most days. I got a copy of the Sunday Sun and went through every want ad. But I just kept trying him, and I found him to be all right. But my trust in the Lord increased during the times when I had to get through. And so that's why David's testimony is so powerful. He's not writing when he was on the mountaintop. He was writing from his cave experience. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the one who will trust in the Lord, whose confidence is in him." We need the word of God in our lives. 1 Peter says it well, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. He had to taste something. And sometimes in life, you will taste some things that will not taste very well. And you'll go through some things that are not well. But thank God for Jesus, that he makes a way for you. David, having come out, said, "You know what? I've tried him. And I've trusted him, but I also want to thank him." Love what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 15 and 18. He says, "In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." You know what? All it takes is just a thank you. Thank you, God, for getting me up this morning. And thank you for starting me on my way. And thank you for making a way out of no way. Amen? David had no problem thanking God. In fact, David was a worshiper. Amen? You have to beg David to give God some praise. He might break one out up at the food store. Whatever it would take, we got to be willing to give God the praise he is due. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. Do you believe that today? That long when the leftovers are gone, I can still thank him. I'll thank him for a bowl of cereal. When all the turkey is gone, I'll thank him for a biscuit. Amen? We must give him thanks. But most of all, for life, for health, and for strength. Psalm 36, David says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, and his mercy endureth forever." And then he says it again in verse 2. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, and his mercy endureth forever." And he says the same thing in verse 3 of Psalm 136. "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, and his mercy endureth forever." And that sounds like there's some dust on the needle. Some of y'all young enough to know that back in the day, you played that Supreme record so much, it got scratched. And every now and then, a scratch in life will cause you to say, "Lord, I just want to thank you. I know I just said that, but thank you. I know I just said that, but thank you for making a way out of no way." Anybody glad today? We can thank him for everything he has done. I'm thankful for one John Mason. Back in 1858, he invented the first salt shaker. Now, that name Mason sounds familiar. He was also the Mason jar man. But when it comes to our carrying out a taste test, the Bible reminds us that we are the salt of the earth. Amen? And that we have to go out and to be the salt. But it says when you lose your flavor, you're good for nothing. And so as we leave today, as we head out to our different homes, we've got to become salt shakers. Amen? Letting someone know that the wages of sin is still death. Salt shakers, letting someone know that goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Salt shaker, letting someone know there's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. Salt shaker, letting him know that weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We've got to become salt shakers as we go about letting someone know how good God is. It's our responsibility to become salt shakers. Let folk know I've tasted the Lord and I've found him to be good. Hymn writer says, "He's sweet, I know. Storm clouds may rise and strong winds may blow, but I will tell the world wherever I go. I'll tell the world if I go to the store. I'll tell the world if I leap out of here and go to a ball game. I'll tell the world if I'm at the White House. I'll tell the world, no matter where I am, that he's sweet, I know. And can't you feel your taste buds getting excited right now? Why? Because you serve a risen Savior. And he's in the world today. And his name is Jesus. Jesus, the lily of the valley. Jesus, the bright and the morning star. And so therefore, when you go out, you ought to go somebody and say, I tasted him and I found him to be all right. How many folk know today that you got to be used to give the taste test, to tell a culture that you still need Jesus? Be that person that goes and shares with the dying world. David says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Your assignment today, become a spiritual salt shaker. I know they tell us that it'll raise your blood pressure, but this salt is a little different. And because you are the salt of the earth, share with somebody the goodness of the Lord. That is the word of God today. Come on, stand all over this place. A taste test. Even as we come today, know that the Lord God is available. And we're called to bless him. David said, man, if you knew what I've been through, you know I can say I'll bless him. Why? He's been so good to me. That's why we give him praise. Because he's kept us. As we come today, sing a little bit of this. I will bless at all times his praise be in my mouth. I will bless at all his praise in my mouth. In my mouth. In my mind, his praise shall continually be in my mouth, in my mouth, in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Bow your heads today. Heavenly Father, as we come, we come with the heart of a David, knowing what you brought us through, knowing what you brought us around, and we come to say thank you today. David knew who it was that could bring him out. He used all of his spiritual senses, taste and to see. As we come today, God, it is our prayer that there's one in the house today, one by way of social media who knows you not, I pray in the name of Jesus that they may taste and see that you are good. God, we thank you for forming spiritual taste buds so that we know that when it's not of you, it won't taste right. God, we love you and we thank you. So touch that heart today in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue to play that. We've got 4 minutes left. Doesn't have to be on Facebook, but I want us to come together at the altar to pray today.